Welcome to Legacy Church Amelia Island. We pray that you are blessed by the message that you are about to hear, and we believe that it will help you leave a Christ-glorifying legacy for generations to come.
We are so thankful you're part of our community right here at Legacy Church. My name is Carlos. If I haven't had the pleasure to meet you, we're so thankful that you are part of our family, whether you're in the building or online. We're so thankful for that. Anyone enjoying the cooler weather? Anybody enjoying the cooler weather? Okay, you guys need to move. This is Florida. I wasn't congratulating you. Floridians, warm-blooded folks. True story, my family's on the front row. The other night, I'm taking the dog out. By the way, the dog that I was never going to have to take out, I was never going to have to feed, that dog, that one, I was taking that one out. He would be dead if it wasn't for me. Taking that dog out. And I had a sweater on, I had a coat on, I was putting another coat on, and I was putting earmuffs on. True story. My wife goes, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "It's cold, number one. And number two, I was never supposed to have to take this dog out, number two. So what's wrong with you and the rest of the girls? I don't like the cold. What do you even say? I don't like it. A sweater, a couple of jackets, and earmuffs. That's not normal?" Okay, maybe not. But we're in this wonderful series called Family Tree. And in Family Tree, the goal behind all of it is that you find your space in your family tree. You take your ownership. You understand that you've been created for such a time as this. People have lied to you. The enemy has lied to you. The culture has lied to you and made you feel random and out of place. And should I have been born, or what is my purpose? Oh, you're going to find it. I promise you today. I want to talk to you for the next few moments of this thought. Finding purpose and providence in the family tree. Someone look at their neighbor and tell them this. You are going to find purpose and promise in your family tree. Let's pray together. Lord, we approach you as we should. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are infinite and we are finite. You are all-knowing and we live a day at a time if you give us that. And so I pray these next few moments, we do what's required to surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal himself in all the unique ways, Father, to folks in the building, people online, that we may hear your voice and not be fooled by the enemy or the flesh, but be led by your Spirit, God. Speak to us these next moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Two of the most important days of any person's life is a day that you're born and the day that you find out why you're born. Most people don't struggle with the day that they were born. As a matter of fact, we celebrate that, right? Happy birthday. Some people stop talking about what birthday number it is, but we still celebrate, right? Happy birthday. If you're in my house, we have birthday months. My girls celebrate their whole month of birthdays, and every time we think we're done, we find out there's still another day in that month. But none of us have a problem with the day that we are born. We just have a problem with finding out why we were born. We don't have a celebrating, hey, it's your purpose month, right? We don't have anything like that to celebrate our purpose. And so many of us have issues with this thought around purpose and why we are born. As a matter of fact, if you go on Amazon today or any bookstore you might stop by, you will find all kinds of books on what? Purpose. And everybody has their own way of describing purpose. 21 steps to purpose, 12 steps to purpose, 9 steps to purpose, 3 steps to purpose. Like, everyone has their thoughts around purpose. So in our society, what has purpose become? A moving target. Everybody has a different type of purpose. It becomes quite unique because purpose often is attached to seasons of life in our culture. I have my purpose in this season. Well, what happens if that purpose or if that season changes? You have lost your what? You've lost your purpose. And so when it comes to purpose, it comes to the reason why we were born, what God declares is this: we were made by him and for him. The Bible says you and I, we're created in his image. So what I find is I cannot find my purpose inwardly. I must find it outwardly in God and in God alone. That's the power of knowing God as your Lord and as your Savior. The Bible is very clear on this, that we don't chase purpose. Purpose chases us. Can I show you this? when Jesus talks about purpose, it's important that you know what purpose is. Purpose is this: it's loving God and loving people in every season of life through glorifying God. This is what purpose is according to Jesus. The scripture declares, this is the words of Jesus. If you have a Bible with you, it should be red letters in your Bible. It says this, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. There is this inclusive love, God glorifying, God obedience, God commitment. You want purpose? There it is. No more searching. You know the day you were born, and now you found out the day why you were born, to serve and to live for a God who created you. And also he includes loving your neighbor as yourself. You thought you could get away with just loving God, didn't you? You thought you could get away with not loving that neighbor in your neighborhood, in your workspace, or the person who shares your last name. You thought you could get away with it, but you can't. That's part of your intrinsic, God-given, God-ordained purpose. And we'll talk about purpose in different regards here today, because what you're going to find is the characters that we discuss week in and week out in the family tree, they are devoid of purpose until they meet the living God. They don't have purpose. And if they do, it's a moving target and it's very seasonal. Well, if I have kids at home, I have purpose. And then leave them empty nester, I have no purpose. Well, I have this title in this company, but when my title changes or I do something different, I've lost my purpose. You're going to see people in the family tree of Jesus really wandering around for purpose until they meet the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one and only true God. I want you also today to be identify something when it comes to not just purpose, but providence. Someone say providence. This is God at work in every scenario in the life of the people that we're reading about. They have a way of seeing God's providence that turns pain to providence and hardship into the hand of God. And if you see this well in your own life, you'll see how you will turn pain into providence and hardship into seeing, oh, that is the hand of God working behind the scenes in my life. So today we're going to talk about not just purpose, but providence and Jesus' family tree and your family tree. I've got a really robust definition of divine providence because you can't miss it as we discuss it, because the goal is you're going to start to look back in your life, past, present, and the things to come and see God's divine purpose. So you're going to get some work here reading this with me. You ready? Divine purpose is this. It is the governance of God by which he, with wisdom and love, please don't forget about that, wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things. Someone says all things in the universe. Divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things again. He is sovereign over the universe as a whole. Does anybody believe that? He is sovereign over the universe as a whole. The physical world, the affairs of the nations, human destiny, human successes and failures. He's the God of success and failure, and the protection of his people. This doctrine stands in direct opposition to the idea that the universe is governed by chance or fate. That messes up a few love stories and a few movies in your mind, I know. But the scripture would go on to declare Romans 8:28 this, that, and we know that, here it goes again, all things, God works for the good of those who what? Oh, there's some purpose language in there, right? Loving God and loving people who love him and have been called according to his what? Man, this providence, this purpose, you're going to keep bumping into this as you seek God. You'll find purpose, but you can't find providence without what? Purpose. Because it's the God who creates purpose that leads us and reveals his providence in every circumstance and in every situation of our lives. As we're going through this series, it's unique because we're all learning different things. One of the things I'm learning is that God does not work through perfection or perfect family trees, simply because perfection and perfect people and perfect family trees don't exist. And so it draws our attention, it draws our need to what? Needing a Savior. We are free moral agents. We can do what we like, but I'll tell you what, you go far enough without God and long enough without God, you find out, I have a need for a Savior. I have a need for a Lord. So it is showing me that this family tree, it is messy in Jesus' family tree. It's messy in my family tree. But once we find our purpose by surrendering to him, we see his providence revealed. And God makes this clear through the life of Abraham. But watch this. Abraham, we all know the Abrahamic covenant given in Genesis chapter 12. We read it together here. He gives Abraham the promise. He gives him his purpose. But what's so interesting is this, is that it's so great. It's so expansive. It's so robust. It can't be fully revealed in his lifetime. I'm talking to some people in the building. I'm talking to some people online right now that the purposes and the promises and the providence of God are so great in your life. Relax. It's not all going to come to pass in your lifetime. Relax. There's some people coming after you. There's some people who share your DNA and your last name. There's some people you're mentoring. There's some people you work with. It's going to be revealed after you're dead. After you're long gone, your purpose is supposed to, if done godly and done right, it's supposed to outlive you. So relax if you're not seeing everything in your lifetime and you're a certain age and you thought God would have done it by now. He would have healed this by now or revealed this by now. Just relax. I'm going to throw it back to the 80s. Take a chill pill. That's when things were cool. Take a chill pill. Like, God's working. God's doing some things. And if done properly, it shouldn't be revealed in your lifetime. You should see snippets of it. Do you know that Abraham didn't walk into the promised land? Moses did not walk into the promised land. They were on the precipice, the scripture says. But those who they brought up walked into the promised land. If my life is lived properly, I won't walk into all the promises God has given me, but my children will. We're going to open up our scriptures today. We've been in Genesis for some time, but I've got to fast forward you here because Jesus and Christmas is coming real soon, so I got to get there, okay? Ready or not, it's coming. So I got to take it today to Joshua. I know we're fast forwarding here, a couple books to your right. Chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to see now something has happened. We're way past Abraham. We fast forward some generations. Moses has just died. So now the up-and-comer, Joshua, is coming into the picture. And God has taken him to the promised land. But any promises God desires for your life and my life, there are some hurdles. There are some God-designed hurdles. There are some providence in your life called hurdles that unless you go through those hurdles, you will forget God. I will forget God. And so God knows in the human frailties, no hurdles, we don't lean on God. If life is great, there's nothing to worry about, everything's good, we don't think about him. And so they have a hurdle. They've got to take down a city called Jericho. Many of us sang the songs about the walls of Jericho falling down, you know, that Jericho. It's that Jericho. But it's not as cute as they taught us in Vacation Bible School. Jericho was a pagan place. They had all kind of deities, and they were known by the strength of their city walls. And so God shows them they're not going to knock those walls down with their might and their power. They're going to knock it down with prayer and worship, and they're going to send Judah first, right? So before all this happens and all of our songs that we learned up growing up happen, God first aligns Joshua as a new general. And he takes some lessons from Moses, and he says this in verse 1. Be strong and courageous. This is God speaking. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to who? Oh, the family tree. No, I swore this to your family tree. There are purpose and promises. Your children must come back because they were raised in the ways of the Lord. No, these promises have been swore to your ancestors. Joshua, you're not all that. Your ancestors were all that. My promises are all that, and it's coming to pass. So Joshua's got to have some courage and have some faith, like you have to have some courage and faith in our generation, in our family tree, in our society. He says, I swore this to your ancestors. I'm going to give them. I would give this to them. God talks about the past and the present. Already done. You just got to walk in it. You've got to trust Joshua. You've got to be the kind of person that helps other people establish faith. I told you we're going fast, right? Now flip to your right to Joshua chapter 2. Here we go. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies. Someone say two spies. Anybody remember when Moses was a general? How many spies Moses sent out? Anybody remember? 12. Sent out 12 spies. And how many brought back a bad report? 10 brought back a bad report. 2 brought back a good report. It was who? Joshua and Caleb. And because of the 10, the bad report, because of their lack of belief, they wandered for 40 years. Josh said, yeah, I'm not doing that. Sending two, and I know that they've got faith. They're going to bring me back a good report. So he says, I just need two spies. And this is what he says. Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around, of course, Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there all night. I told you guys, family tree gets messy sometimes, right? Of all the places they could have found, here's where they land. All right, but God God's got providence. Remember, don't forget about God's providence, okay? It's coming. Verse 2. But someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spot the land. So the king of Jericho sent out orders to Rahab. Are you kidding me? They had one job, and that was to be spies, to not be seen. One job. They are the worst spies in all of history. Are you kidding me? You have one job. Go under the guise of night, like make yourself not seen. Apparently, they went to a pretty popular place, okay, a brothel. A lot was going on. A lot of moving and shaking was happening here. And they go into this place, and the word gets out among the city, among the town, makes its way up the corporate ladder, and it gets to who? The king. You are a terrible spy. The king makes it all the way back down and gets to the house of Rahab, and here's what he says here. So the king sent orders to Rahab, verse 3, bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spot the whole land. Rahab has a decision here in verse 4, a very big decision. You don't know her, I don't know her, but what we do know is that she runs this place and she has a decision to make. Will she be faithful and loyal to the gods and the king of Jericho? Or will she be faithful and loyal to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel? Who will she be faithful to? And in verse 4, she makes her choice in her family tree, like you have to make your choice in your family tree. In verse 4, it says, Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the men were here earlier, but I don't know where they went. Okay, Rahab, go ahead with your bad self. Like, you made a choice, and her life could be at jeopardy here from the king and the people, but she chooses the God of Abraham, Isaac. She chooses the one true living God. Verse 8, Rahab went up on the roof to talk to them, so she hid them on the roof. And she says this in verse 9, I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. She starts preaching to them, because remember, they're fearful to take this place. She said, we are all afraid of you. Oh man, God goes before his people, doesn't he? Everyone in this land is living in terror, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And so apparently, as she's going, as they make their way to Rahab's place, this was God ordained. This was providence at work. There is witnessing. There is something strong going on here. She says, I've known about your God. I heard about your God. You guys left Egypt, and it was on dry land. We heard about the waters crushing the Egyptians. And then in verse 11, you know, the Bible says how we're saved, confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. Confess that he is Lord, that he is God. Confess that we believe in him. And if we believe in our heart, watch this in verse 11. The Lord your God is supreme. He is the supreme God of heavens above and the earth below. She's having a salvation moment. She is declaring her faith. She's saying, I've heard about him and now I've seen him. And you two guys, I don't know what the conversation was, but it was enough to convince her, I'm going to risk my life. I'm going to risk my business. I'm going to risk my culture and my community. You guys are coming to destroy us, but I am putting my heart with God. I don't understand how all this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to play out, but I believe in your God, and I want him. He is the Lord above. She doesn't mention any deity in Jericho. She doesn't mention any false god. Doesn't mention any king. She wants their God. And in verse 11, you've got to see this. God sends the men to a pretty sketchy place, it would seem, but he's got something providential going on here. And so she, in verse 11, she makes her declaration of faith, and by scripture, she is saved. Verse 12, she says, now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, she believes in the plan of God more than she believes in whatever's going on in her life. You're going to conquer Jericho. God has sent you. So I don't know how it's going to work out for me. I'm with whatever God desires. You will let me live along, not just about her, but her family tree, my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters, oh, and the extended folks. You know, the extended family, right? And their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. The really bad spies agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land. And verse 18 is how it finishes out. It says, when we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging. One translation says scarlet cord hanging from the window through which you let us down. And so that's supposed to be symbolic. Do you remember in Passover, the blood over the doorpost? You remember that? The blood of the lamb? You remember when Jesus dies, we talk about the blood of the lamb? Well, what is the color of what's going to save them? scarlet, the color of the blood. And so there's a lot of symbolism happening in this story. And so as this happens, they take the word back to Joshua, the general. They probably don't tell him they got found out. They conveniently left that part out. Like, we're really bad spies. They just say, hey, we got to preserve this one family. They protected us. And so now I'm going to take you really quickly to chapter 6 and see how this finishes out. And in chapter 6, verse 24, it says this, then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Like, God called them to destroy this town. Every animal, every person, God got rid of this place. So Joshua spared Rahab, it wants to remind us, the prostitute and her relatives who were with her in the house, because she had hidden the spies Joshua sent out. And the most powerful part of the entire exchange is this. And she lives among the Israelites today. The Canaanite woman lives among the Israelites today. It's incredible how she goes from the family tree in Jericho to now the family tree of the Israelites. Like that shift happens. And if you think that maybe it's a bit over the top how much we're believing in her faith and her faith journey and her declaration to believe in God, if you think that we're over the top, you'll find her name in two places in the New Testament. She forever is now aligned with the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 highlights her faith when it says this. By faith, the what? The prostitute Rahab. See, you and I, we try to run from our testimony, and God wants it in his word. He wants other people to know where we come from in our life. It says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who are disobedient. God says, she's one of mine. She's in my family. This is where she comes from and shows you my great grace. There's so many things that we can learn and pull out of this exchange here, but one of the things is this. Whenever circumstances in life seem so exaggerated, would you agree that the circumstance in Rahab's life is quite exaggerated? Like, whenever things seem so complex, the greater the exaggeration, the greater the complexities, the greater the move of God. Like, right now, if there are things in your life that you can't figure out how God is working, what he's doing, and how he is moving, the greater the complexity, the greater the move of God. Why would God call this Canaanite that comes from a pagan culture into his family tree? Why would he call a prostitute running a brothel into his family tree? Like, isn't that a bit taboo for God? Isn't that a bit unsacred, unholy? Like, wouldn't people start talking that she's in the family? But what God wants to show me is that no matter where I've been and what I've done, I'm welcomed. What God wants to show you, no matter where you've been and what you've done and what your background is, you are welcomed in the family of God. What God wants to show humanity and everybody is that no matter where you've been and what you've done, there is space and there is room for you in the family of God. If you declare your faith, your allegiance, and your loyalty to God, he welcomes you in with repentance and humility that he requires. She does that, and she is welcomed in. It's amazing to see this, because the one who sold her body because she didn't know her worth finds the one who gives her worth. It's the most beautiful exchange that you ever read in the scripture. She has been seeking out God in her own way. She's been hearing the stories, and now she meets the person. A lot of us grow up hearing the stories, but my question to you is, have you met the person? When Rahab meets the person, she leaves her country, leaves her city, she leaves her king, she leaves her idols, she leaves her business because she now meets the person. Someone say amen. Rahab discovers purpose when she connects her purpose to loving God. I'm not joking about this purpose thing, guys. She finds purpose when she connects loving God and loving people. She loves God, we see it on display, but she also loves her family. She doesn't say, hey, just get me out of here. The rest of them can burn for all I care. She goes, no, but what about my mother and my father, my brothers and my sisters, and their family? When she loves God and loves people, she finds purpose that a job can't give her. She finds purpose that a culture can't give her. She finds purpose that people can't give her. She finds purpose in an amazing way when she comes to alignment and agreement with the God of Israel. I don't know if you saw it or not, but she becomes an archetypal Noah. You remember Noah? He saved his family on the Tabor, on the ark. He saves them. He says, hey, you guys come in because everything's going to get destroyed. And what does she do? She says, come on, guys. Everything's going to get destroyed in Jericho. I know we're used to the culture. We're used to the gods. We're used to the king. We're used to how they do things. Come here. She says, I don't care if nobody before me rose up and served the Lord. I'm rising up to serve the Lord. I'm having these conversations. I'm praying this way. I'm worshiping this way. I'm leading a life that glorifies God. And I don't know what her family thought about it, but they thought enough to trust her. And you're not going to know what your family thinks about your relationship with God and the steps that you're taking to bring him into the holiday season, not just celebrate a holiday, but celebrate the Lord of the holiday. I don't know how they're going to take your walk with God and how you're faithful to him, but I'll tell you what, they watch long enough, they're going to join you. And they watch the change in her life, and we're not told why, we just know they joined her, and their lives were saved. It's a beautiful story how God uses everything in Rahab's life, everything in her life, for the good. You begin to see providence in Rahab's life, but can you see it in your life? You begin to see how if she was not in this corrupt Jericho, if she was not in the place she was, the men would have not come because they were coming there to really destroy the bad spies, the ones who got found out, the ones who were literally in plain view of everybody. They probably came midday. Those guys, they came because they were going to destroy the place. But God says, I'm going to put you in a pagan place because I've got to destroy it, but I want to reach you still. And God reached in the depths like he reached to pull me out. He reaches to pull Rahab out. He reaches to pull you out. Like this is his heart. He goes searching for hearts who are longing for him, and she is found. It's a beautiful exchange here that we read together. Jericho was a principal seat of idol worship, and yet he finds her there. Can we be transparent for a moment? I feel like I say that every week. Rahab is a prostitute, and she's been doing it long enough to have her own brothel, scholars believe. Can I tell you that no little girl grows up playing with dolls, dreaming to be a prostitute? Doesn't happen. Dreaming to bring other women into this trade, and who knows who's governing it? To be in the place that she's in life, there was a series of traumatic events. There's a series of hurt, a series of abuse, a series of being taken advantage of, so it became normalized to be treated as a piece of flesh, to be treated not as a human being, not as a person, not as a soul, but as a body, to be expendable, to be used and abused. Something happened in her life where this became normalized, where she was desperate enough to take this place in this space in life. So before we kind of make light of it, oh, a prostitute in the line of Jesus' family tree, that's so interesting, that's so neat, it's an icebreaker. No, please don't forget the hurt and the pain behind these eyes of Rahab. Please don't forget the things that she saw, the things that she endured, the hardship, the abuse that allowed her for men to take advantage of her. That's just normal. Don't forget that part of this, because that's important. Let me tell you why it's important. Because God's providence is bigger than trauma. God's providence is bigger than dysfunction. God's providence is bigger than abuse. God's providence is bigger than any hurt and any pain to any woman and any man on planet Earth. Can I show you? Can I prove it to you? Because she was a prostitute, because she was good at this line of work, because she expanded and had a brothel, she took in many visitors. And she was very aware of current events. That's how she knew about the God of Israel. That's how she knew in detail they came out of not just Egypt, but through the Red Sea on dry ground. God says, I see your trauma, but look at my providence. See, no one else knew what she knew. Her family was not aware. But when the spies came to see her and said where they were from, she goes, oh, no, I heard about you guys. I heard about your God. I heard about what he did. And she even references more things about who you beat and who you've overcome. No, he's the real God. He is Yahweh. He's not these play gods here in Jericho. God takes her trauma of being a prostitute. God takes her pain of being used day in and day out and being abused. God takes it all and says, sweetheart, here's my providence. Because you're up on current events, because you've talked to so many men and they've told you the happenings, now I'm going to use it for my glory. Now I'm going to use it to reach you. Now I'm going to use it to not just save your generation, the family tree, but generations to come. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that's faithful. That's the God that's so worthy. That's the God that can do more than you could ask, think, or imagine. So the next time the enemy or the flesh wants to beat you down with trauma, wants to beat you down with hurt and pain and abuse and all the things that we all have, all the skeletons in the closet, all the hurt of the past and the pain, the next time he tries, I want you to open up your Bibles to the story of Rahab and see that God uses every trauma and every pain and everything that could have hurt you, that everything that came to rob your joy and your peace, you can say, oh, I now see God's hand in this. I see the providence of God because he is faithful and his promises are true. Rahab's life is a reminder that God never forgets and he's always there. Her life is such a reminder that we are told Israel comes and they just wipe out Jericho. The walls fall and everything is destroyed except for Rahab and her family because she rises up in her family tree. We are told that Rahab actually and her family become part of Israel now. So they are now, the Canaanite woman is now grafted in with her family to the family of God. It's so remarkable. And so now what we're going to see is this, is that there's a family tree being built now. You guys remember, it started with God, right? And then from God, we kept studying, and it went where? Where did our family tree go next from God? It went to who was next? Adam and Eve. And then we're going to skip a couple of generations because I got to supersede this thing, okay? And then from Adam and Eve, it goes to Noah, right? We studied Noah. Then to Abraham and Sarah. And now to Salmon and Rahab? Hold on a moment. You're telling me God used everything? You're telling me God didn't waste any scraps? You're telling me there wasn't a tear cried? There wasn't a sorrowful moment? There wasn't a pain? There wasn't strain? There wasn't any part of abuse? There wasn't any part of dysfunction? God used every part of her life? There was no part of her life that was wasted? Are you trying to convince me of that? God says, I'm going to use it all. And now he inserts Rahab into the family tree. And oh, by the way, if you know what Salmon, he was part of the family line of who? Judah. That's important. We'll talk about that next week. That's a very important family line. And there's so much more I want to tell you about this, but you're going to have to come back next week. There's so many things that happen after this. There's so many things that you can't wait to hear about. They're going to change your life. If you find that same seat next week, in that same place online next week that God wants to tell you about, because it is so remarkable. And if I give you too much more, you might miss this today. I need you to focus on what happened today. I need you to take these scriptures and read through the full story and to really grasp what God said and what God did, because I'm telling you what, when we pick back up this time together next week, you're not going to believe what God's going to do through Rahab. You're not going to believe what he puts into motion, what he extracts from the culture of Jericho and what he puts into his family tree, because someone in their family tree rose up. Someone in their family tree said, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to do what nobody else has done. I'm going to walk the road less traveled. I'm not going to complain and whine about all things that happened to me. I'm going to believe God has a purpose and God has a plan. And I'm going to start to look for God's hand in things. And I'm going to find God's providential hand through purpose. And what is purpose? It's loving God and loving people. That takes you to every season of your life, every work discipline, every place, and whatever you call your life. Purpose, you don't chase it, it chases you. You don't follow it, it follows you. Because you experience in every season, in every space of life. And so in the same way God uses her life, in the same way he raises up something so powerful in her family tree, he wants to raise powerful things up in your family tree. And it only takes one. Will you be that one? Lord, we thank you for this amazing story, this incredible exchange of the purpose and the providence of God. And I pray everyone in this place, Father, can see in their life the purpose and the providence of God. I know many here today have not seen it yet. They are bitter. They are angry. There are things, some subjects that come up they don't want to talk about because they have not yet seen your providence in it. There are things, Father, that we can't rectify. There are things we can't reconcile. But we see in the life of Rahab, you have a plan and you have a purpose, and nothing in this world can stop you. You use everything. Not one tear is wasted. Not one hardship is wasted. Not one defeat is wasted. You are a God who knows and who cares and who loves. So in this place today, Father, would you begin to bring wholeness and healing? In this place today, would someone rise up as a Rahab in their family tree? Would they see the hand of God working? Would they trust that you are doing things they can't see? Rahab had no clue what you were going to do, Father. She just had a moment to choose. Choose her culture, choose her people, choose, Lord, everything she was accustomed to, or choose your ways. And she had no clue that thousands of years later, her name would be etched into the family tree of Jesus. And so, Father, help us to make those tough decisions today, and this week, and this coming year, Father, to be faithful and obedient to you, to put you first, to get our family to church, get our family logging online, to get our family, Father, in a healthy space of serving you. Because like Noah and like Rahab, we have been called not just to provide for our family, but to preserve and protect the spiritual integrity of our families, Lord. And lastly, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you are far from Jesus in this place, if you are far from him and don't know him as your Savior, this is the moment that we have the privilege of welcoming you into the family. Or if you have prayed a prayer at one point in your life, but things have come up, traumas and pain and busyness have come up, and you've just walked away, we want to welcome you to rededicate your life today. So if that is you as a church family, we're going to pray with you. And we're going to ask you to welcome the Lord into your life for the first time, or maybe to welcome him back into your life. And so church family, if you'll join me in praying with those who are praying this prayer in the building and online. Lord God, we believe in you. We repent of our sins and welcome Jesus, the Messiah, into our lives. Holy Spirit, give us a hunger for your word and for discipleship and accountability the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Put your hands together for those who prayed that prayer today. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you would like more information about our church, please check out our website at legacychurchai.org or follow us on social media at legacychurchai. We'll see you next time.